Turning now to forests, which store more than a quarter of the Earth's carbon dioxide, but trees don't grow fast enough to compete with the amount of emissions released into the atmosphere. WUSF's Kathy Carter tells us how some communities in Florida are investing in a surprisingly small but mighty solution.
It's early morning in Bradenton, Florida, where about 100 volunteers, armed with shovels and pruning shears, kneel in half an acre of soil for a community planting.
We're going to clip these roots so it'll come out of the pot.
Oh, yeah. We don't want big roots.
That's Master Gardener Norma Casita giving directions to a local school group. By the end of the day, these kids and other volunteers will have planted about 1,800 shrubs and trees to create a microforest.
All right, let's try now. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Charles Wright, the former professor at Tulane University, says Japanese botanist Akira Miyawaki pioneered the technique of planting species close together so they compete for sunlight.
Because of the density, the canopy trees get these shade signals in early morning and late afternoon light that stimulate hormones to grow as fast as possible.
Wright says a microforest will reach maturity in just decades instead of up to a century. And as a result, the trees planted in Bradenton will be able to absorb high levels of carbon much sooner than a traditional forest. So volunteers like 6-year-old Ayla and her mom Jennifer will benefit sooner too.
All right, let's see. Do we need to put some more dirt in here? What do you think?
Yeah.
All right, and we'll use some native soil as well.
I already got a lot of that.
Oh, good.
Microforests are becoming increasingly popular, particularly in urban areas where space is tight. The one in Bradenton is in a community just off a busy interstate and is the fifth of its kind on Florida's Gulf Coast. Brad Oberle, a professor of environmental studies at New College of Florida, is helping organizers track the amount of carbon these microforests will eventually store.
If we can understand how to make forests grow even better, we potentially have a really powerful tool to combat climate change.
Oberle and his students helped create a small food forest on their college campus in 2015. They measured the trees 2 years after the initial planting. Oberle says in that time, the tiny food forest pulled 20,000 pounds of carbon dioxide out of the air. That's equal to the amount produced by two households in a year. At double the size and with much larger trees, the microforest in Bradenton will pull even more. And that's important because carbon in the air means a warmer planet. Professor Charles Wright says microforests can also help reduce what's known as the urban heat effect, created when natural land is replaced with development.
These microforests create a zone certainly under them, but extending further out than one might expect, that cools the air down considerably.
The most obvious way trees cool the air is by shading. They also do it through transpiration. That happens when trees release water into the atmosphere from their leaves. As the water turns from liquid into vapor, the surrounding area is cooled. And while microforests alone won't solve climate change, Wright says they can help.
The best way to combat climate change is to engage a lot of people and to have these kinds of forests in every neighborhood.
Now what should we do?
Mulch.
Okay, let's put some mulch on it. How does that? Does it look like a happy plant now?
Yeah.
Okay, good job.
Yay!
For here and now, I'm Kathy Carter.